Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
You are warmly welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to a fantastic weekend are David Jennings and Keith Melrose from the Racing Post, and Paddy Power's Ryan McHugh. What have we got on the show today? Okay, this abridged but extremely attractive, absorbing flat season comes to a climax. We've got some superb two-year-old action at Newmarket, highlighted by the Dewhurst Stakes, and then we've got Zarowicz as well. Three crackers at York, all the action on ITV, and then we'll see what else the boys fancy. The jumpers are coming back to life at Chepstow, and then on Sunday we'll turn our attention to Ireland, where we've got the Irish Zarowicz and the Munster National. So basically, yeah, we've got this week, then next week we've got Champions Day indeed, and the week after we've got Vertem Futurity. So it's been a short but very sweet flat season. It's coming to a climax. And one of the key questions that needs to be answered is who is going to be the champion two-year-old of 2020? I suspect we'll find out at around about 2.58 on Saturday. The 2.55 at HQ is the Derby Dewhurst. It's a really, really interesting field. I cannot wait to see what the lads fancy here. But first of all, Ryan, take it away with a show of betting from Paddy Power.
Yeah, Chindit heads our market at 5-2 currently, Bruce. Just ahead of Thunder Moon, who's second favourite, the National Stakes winner. Al Qaeda's in there at 13-2. It's 9-1 Cadillac, and then it's bigger prices the remainder.
Keith, we'll go to you first. I mean, this race is brilliant, isn't it? There's a huge field. It kind of brings together all the strands of two-year-old form that we've had so far, and it should be a real thriller. What do you make of it?
Yeah, it's just a belter, isn't it? We've got. I think it's because we've had a shortened season. It's not worked. The order has not sorted itself as out as it might have done normally by the Dewhurst. So there's still, I mean, Chindit or Thunder Moon could run the race, and anything from about 16s up could improve past them. There's that much depth to the race. I thought at one point I was going to put up 5,000-1. I do think he's a little bit big at around sort of 16-1 mark. Then at another point I was thinking about Etonian as well, because I thought he was quite impressive in winning the Solario Stakes. But the one whose price is just patently wrong for me, Paddy Power are closer to the mark than most, but other firms are going even bigger. It's Cadillac. Now, I think the reason he is the price he is because last time he won over a mile and he beat Van Gogh, who is in the Autumn Stakes but might as well be in the Zetland. He's quite slow, to be honest. And Cadillac just absolutely smashed him up, and the rest of them too. There's absolutely no question that the horse will be, you know, 8 furlongs at Leopardstown, back to 7 at Newmarket. That won't be an issue at all. He'd be perfectly happy under conditions. And his form is just about up there with the favourites. Yet you can back him at 9s with Paddy Power, even bigger elsewhere. It's the wrong price.
Excellent Cadillac for Keith. DJ, how are you seeing this?
Yeah, similar to Keith, actually, Bruce. I think it's a really interesting race, and Keith described it perfectly there, because we just don't know who's the best of these yet. There's no standout performer. Chindit has looked very, very professional. Thunder Moon, probably a little bit sexier with that turn of foot, but Chindit has done nothing wrong. But I just think all week I've been looking at the prices, and knowing that Cadillac was going to run, I couldn't believe that he was a double figure price all week. It just made no sense to me whatsoever. Like, he posted an RPR of 115 when he won that Group 2 at Leopardstown, and he won it very convincingly from Van Gogh, who had a high level of form going into the race, and then won his maiden next time. Like, his maiden win at Leopardstown back in July was arguably the most impressive maiden win from any horse this season. It was breathtaking. I'm not saying he's definitely the best horse in the race, but he's definitely the wrong price. So I think at the price at the moment, you've got to be with Cadillac.
Okay, first of all, just DJ, by the way, quick word on the ground. I mean, it's soft at both York and Newmarket today. And I think there might be a bit of rain, but I think it's pretty much we can work on the basis of soft, can't we, for both those meetings?
Yeah, I think we can. And just one thing, I'm a bit scared to say this because Keith is going to give out to me, but I'm doing previews as part of my Friday shift, and I've just spoken to Joseph O'Brien, and Thunder Moon is by no means a certain starter. They're going to walk the track beforehand. He's convinced he needs decent ground. So if they think it's too soft beforehand, Thunder Moon won't run. So I'd say at the moment it's probably 50-50 whether Thunder Moon runs or not.
Oh, blimey. That's a bit of a breaking news exclusive. I'm glad you thought to tell us that, DJ. Okay, let's see what Ryan McHugh makes of the Dewhurst.
Yeah, just to mention, we are playing 4 places in Paddy Power. So I think you might need that. It's obviously a really competitive race, as the lads have mentioned. I think Al-Bashir could turn the form around with Chindit. I just like the differentiation in price between them two. He's around a 10-1 chance at the moment, Al-Bashir. He still ran a little bit green to me the last day in the Champagne. He showed on debut that he's a touch of class when bolting up in that Doncaster maiden. He's around a 10-1 chance. But for me, I'd rather back something in the race each way, like the likes of him, than back either the top two at around 5-2 or 11-4.
Yeah, I can see that. Keith, a quick word on Chindit. I mean, he's, you know, obviously really impressive in three wins. I can't say I'm looking at 5-2 and think, yeah, that's a value bet. Because as you've said, there's so many can improve past him. Now, he might well come out on top, but 5-2 is not ultra exciting, is it?
No, it's a news story, isn't it? The vibes from the Hannon Yard have been extremely good, talking of, you know, the breathtaking work he's been doing at home. And I think, but for that, he'd probably be about 4 or 5 to 1, really, in such a competitive race. But it's the sort of thing that tends to stick. And, I mean, it could be significant, because when Etonian won the Solario, Hannon came out and said he thought this might have been his Guineas horse. So for Chindit to be so much better regarded than that horse, it's not going to be on no basis. But I do think on pure form, I wouldn't be particularly interested in either him or Thunder Moon, purely given the depth to the race.
Absolutely. And DJ, quick word on Wembley and St Mark's Basilica, who filled the next two places behind Thunder Moon in the National Stakes. They both found trouble, didn't they? Which of those do you prefer?
Oh, definitely Wembley. I think Basilica, the race last week, was the ideal race for him at Longchamp. I think with Wembley, he's kind of more battle-hardened. He's had his six runs. Was a 22-1 shot that day and didn't get much luck in running, but probably was only interfered with as much as Thunder Moon. It's hard to see that form being reversed, but he does have some form with cut on the ground. Like when he won his maiden at Roscommon, it was pretty deep. So, Wembley, if somebody told me they fancied Wembley and it was 10-1, I would say, well, that's fair enough, because, you know, that's probably a little bit of value. I just think Cadillac is slightly better.
Thank you very much indeed. An absorbing battle for the Dewhurst. Don't miss that. Dave and Keith both side with Cadillac. And Ryan goes for Al-Bashir. Now then, if you thought the Dewhurst was testing the 335 at Newmarket, the Together for Racing International Cesarewitch over 2 miles, 2 furlongs, is about as tough as it get in terms of a punting test. Ryan will take us through the betting and DJ will have first crack at it.
Yeah, 7 places online here and 6 places in retail, Paddy Power are paying. Coltrane and Great White Shark both head to betting at 8-1. It's 17-2, Leon Cavallo, 10-1, Not So Sleepy, 14-1, Dalton Highway, and bigger prices than the rest.
7 places, that's not to be sneezed at. That's available at Paddy Power and also on the Racing Post app. DJ, solve the mystery of the 2020 Cesarewitch for us.
Well, I thought I had it solved it, Bruce, earlier on this week. I love this race. I absolutely love it. And I like to pride myself. I don't do much well, but I pride myself on these big staying handicaps. And our infamous or famous, whichever way you want to look at it, Liverpool Group, we had a good cut on Caravan of Hope when he won at Newcastle earlier on this year. And we had a proper cut here at Lightly Squeeze for Harry Fry. Studied the race for a good few hours on Wednesday and Thursday, Wednesday evening, and came up with the opinion that this horse had so much in hand if he got home. At that stage, there was 36 in the race, so I knew 34 ran. I said, surely something will come out. And only one horse came out, and that was Verdana Blue. So he's still a reserve at the time of speaking. So I've no idea if he's going to run or if he isn't going to run. And just to add to the story, Frank Hickey, who was supposed to be on the podcast, our own Frank the Tank, texts me on Wednesday and he says, oh, I see you're on the podcast with me. He was supposed to be on the podcast. I see you're on the podcast with me on Friday. I was just wondering, have you any strong opinion on the Cesaro, which I said, because he had gone through it and he had a strong fancy. And I said, I actually do. I really fancy Lightly Squeeze. And he said, snap. He says, that's the one I fancy. He's got stuck in at 25s. He was all over it. I was all over it. This was supposed to be a one big love-in and it's just gone disastrously wrong. He's still a reserve. I hope he gets in, because I think off a mark of 80, he's £3 out of the handicap, but I think he's so well handicapped on the flat. I love the run at Haydock, where he just got tired in the closing stages, having traded quite short and running. He's improved out of all recognition over jumps. He's now rated 140. I still think there's a really big handicap in Lightly Squeeze. Hayley Turner was jocked up earlier on in the week. There's no jockey on him now. He's entered in a hurdle race at Chepstow. So this story has gone from being a fairy tale to a nightmare very quickly. If he doesn't run, the one I fancy is Dalton Highway.
Dalton Highway. And if Lightly Squeeze does run over hurdles at Chepstow, will you be backing him, DJ?
It's just my theory that he's just so well handicapped on the flat. That's why I fancy him for this race. So I'll probably just...
You'll have to, won't you? Because you'd be so sick if he wins at Chepstow, surely.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I just think this race is so tailor-made for him. And I'd love Hayley Turner to ride. So I'm just praying that he'll get in.
Okay, well, we may well find out definitively one way or the other during the course of this postcast. And if we do, we'll let you know straight away. Ryan, who do you like for the Cesaro Itch?
Yeah, I can't see how Great White Shark is out of places. Obviously, we're paying seven places. But even if you're to get four or five, I can't see how to get her out of places. She's 11 pound higher this year over hurdles than she was when she ran in this race last year, having been sent off 7-1. She's off a 3 pounds lower mark on the flat this year. She comes in a fresher mare, having won at the end of July in Galway. She won a handicap hurdle. There's a bit of depth to that handicap hurdle as well. Jason Watson takes the mount. She met trouble in running in the race last year and probably could have finished a little bit closer. She wasn't going to win the race now last year, but she's just a year older now. She's 6 year old, and I think everything points to a big run from Great White Shark, and I'd be surprised if she didn't go off favourite on the day.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Ryan and Keith. Your Cesaro Itch fancy is?
I'm glad that DJ mentioned Dalton Highway, not because I particularly fancy that horse, but because he was fourth in the race at Nace last November, in which Halimi, who's improved since was third, Build Me Up Buttercup, who has improved first since was second, and Jukebox Jive won it on his debut for Gavin Cromwell. And only run twice since, both over hurdles, Jukebox Jive. Neither's really come up to scratch. Neither really should have, the way the races have panned out. And it's got the distinct whip of this horse having been laid out for a big prize like this. I still think there's a bit of improvement to come, given he's only run the three times for Cromwell. So at 25-1, he'll look more than do for me.
Thank you very much, chaps. Let's look at the rest of the Newmarket TV card next.
Paddy Power shops are back open. And with them, the return of a massive racing offer. We're giving best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples. All UK and Irish racing, all shops, all day. Limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in shops for more details. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. We've done the two big highlights at Newmarket. Now let's do the other two. Group threes, both for two-year-olds. Both will have a big emphasis on stamina, particularly our first one, the 145, the Godolphin Flying Start Zetland Stakes. Over a mile and two furlongs. We've got eight runners, and Aidan has the jolly, Ryan.
Yeah, Kyprios in here at 7-4, Bruce. Fabulous is next in at 9-2. It's 9-2 also Lone Eagle, and Recovery runs in there 11-2, and then it's bigger price to remainder.
Who are you going to go for, Ryan?
I think Kyprios is a solid favourite in this. He's obviously, as expected, he's bred in the purple, being bred by Moyglare. Aidan O'Brien is two out of the last 3 years. And the fact that the horse won on heavy ground at Galway over an extended mile on debut, getting up close home, gives a clear indication that a mile and a quarter at this stage of his career should be no issue to him. And just having gone through the race yesterday evening, I couldn't find too much that had the potential to improve as much as he did from his debut. And with marks of 87 and 90 with the second and third favourites in there, I thought he was a worthy favourite, and he'd take plenty of beating.
And Ryan, does the old maxim that if O'Brien wins first time out with a two-year-old, it's really decent still stand up? I mean, his record used to be appalling first time out. Is it still pretty ropey?
Yeah, it's still pretty ropey, all right. But it was interesting that horse was 3-1 into 9-4 on the show at Galway. So someone fancied him. But at the same time, it didn't look the strongest of maidens. That the third came out and was beaten in nursery yesterday at Turles. So... I think it's a toss of a coin whether they're strong or not in the market, to be honest.
Sure, absolutely. Okay, Keith, before we get your selection, I want to congratulate you, mate, on being so down and unable last week. Were you punching the air and running around the living room as she toiled into sixth place in the arc?
Not especially, no. I didn't take any particular joy in her getting beat.
Did you play Slayer?
No, I didn't. I mean, how could you in that race?
Well,
a desperate race,
so
wasn't
down.
It?
Right, well, I suppose it was, wasn't it?
That's the thing. I don't have any problem with Enable's position where she is. It's her place in history I had a bit of an issue with more than anything. And with a third auction, I had one that very much overstated her ability. That was always my view on Enable.
It was a chronic arc, wasn't it, eh?
It wasn't great. I mean, Sotsass is basically Flincher or Humezain, and they never won an arc, whereas he's had the chance to. because he got a substandard one. So I thought okay.
he should have made the running on her. Oh my god, yes. It would tear my hair out. I was like, what are you doing? Go to the front, set the fractions, turn it into a test instead of a sprint. Bingo.
Yeah, because you had the biggest non-star in the field dictating.
A miler dictate. I'd say if Frankie could have one moment back, and I actually did my column on it for tomorrow, if he could have one moment back, it would be 50 yards after breaking out of the stalls. She bombed out. She was in front. He had the option there and then with Persian King on his outside taking up the running. Okay, let's go for it. Let's take a chance. Like, she's unbeaten when she's made the running. Ugh.
The flip side of that would probably be, did he look outside and go, I'm not taking on a bloody miler, lads? You know,
well, I don't know. Interesting. Anyway, read all about it in DJ's column in the Racing Post tomorrow. In the meantime, Keith, who wins the Zetland?
I don't particularly know. I think Van Gogh would have. I think he's that sort of horse. He's favourite for the Autumn Stakes, and I'll be using that as a basis to oppose him in the Autumn Stakes, but I didn't have a particularly strong view on the Zetland.
Right, you are. DJ, you're very rarely short of a strong view. Who do you like?
I actually sat in the office off the Giants Causeway Yard when Crippius was running in his maiden at Galway. And I was interviewing Aidan O'Brien ahead of the Irish Champions weekend. And it was about, I think the race had about 10 past four, and it was about 4 o'clock. And he said, oh God, what time is that maiden at? And I said, I think it's in 10 minutes, Aidan. And he said, is this Meigler horse? And he got, it's the first Meigler horse that he's trained. And he said, oh yeah. He said, this is a prop colt. But, you know, she'll obviously improve plenty for the run. And there's a nice actual story to it because he showed me the message that he'd been sending over and back to Pat Smullen. And of course, Pat Smullen died a couple of days later. And Pat took great interest in this horse because obviously his association with Meigler, he was so close to them over the years. And he constantly was texting Aidan about this horse, wondering how the horse was, how he was progressing, you know. And Aidan even showed me the message that he sent back to Pat about the horse. And he was glowing in the praise for Crippius. I think he thinks this is a really nice colt. It traded a 43-1 in running at Galway when he won its maiden. He ran almost exactly the way Aidan thought he might. Kind of got all at sea coming down the hill at Galway. And then once he met the rising ground, he really, really found his feet and stayed on strongly. He looked a stare, but he looked a stare with a bit of class. And I would say the way he coped with the ground there and the way he was still able to get himself out of such an uncompromising position tells me that he's fairly decent. I'll be disappointed if he doesn't win. And I hope with that kind of Smullen story, I hope he turns out to be a good horse. I hope he wins.
That was a lovely story, DJ. Thank you very much for that. That was brilliant. Really enjoyed that. 220 at Newmarket is the Emirates Autumn Stakes. Another Group 3 for two-year-olds over a mile. Ryan, give us the latest betting.
Yeah, this looks a little bit trickier. One Ruler and Van Gogh both head the betting at 130 at the moment. Maximal is in there at 5-1, at 6-1 to Havi, and then 15-2 and bigger the rest.
DJ, it's with you to go first.
Yeah, I'm kind of against Van Gogh here. I think he's okay, and obviously the Cadillac form tied in, but I don't think he's a superstar, and there probably isn't superstars in this race. I'm going to give One Ruler another chance because I don't think the race panned out the way William Buick would have liked in that Flying Scotsman at Doncaster. I know he made his move on the same side as New Mandate, but I just thought he probably got there a little bit earlier than he wanted. Then he was kind of short of room. Now, if he was good enough, he would have won the race. But I just go back to that race at Sandown, how spectacularly well it's worked out. His form of his previous race at Sandown has worked out really well. And I just think he's a good horse. I think he probably needs to be ridden a little more positively than he was at Doncaster last time. But I still go back to that second run at Sandown. And I think he is a very, very good horse. So I'm going to go with One Ruler.
Thank you very much, DJ. Ryan, give us your selection.
Yeah, I like the Habby's attitude on debut and then again when he was beaten last time. Although the form can be knocked from the Denford Stakes that he was beaten, as I said, at Newbury last time. I just thought a step up to a mile would really suit him as he puts his head down and tries. And it looked that day, on that occasion, he was going to be beaten a couple of lengths, maybe into third that day. But he only got ran down by 3/4 of a length. So he's around 6-1 at the moment. He was shorter earlier in the week. Obviously, William Buick's on the horse he's ridden the whole time, One Ruler. But I thought the Harvey was worth a mention from an each way point of view.
Right, you are. And Keith, who's your selection?
I really quite fancy the Harvey. The idea that obviously Buick, people look at One Ruler and think Buick's chosen him, but Buick's ridden that horse all three of his starts. James Doyle's ridden the Harvey both of his. So the jockey bookings picked themselves. And even if it wasn't the case, you know, Jubawi out of Fintry, which is one ruler, I'm not surprised to hear he might be faster at home than Frankel, half-brother to Golden Horn, which is what Dahabi is. So given that, and given how stout that pedigree is, it's really quite encouraging that he's shown what he has over 7 furlongs. And I thought he was still green at Newbury when he was second. And furthermore, the winner had the run of the race where he didn't. He made a good move up the far side on the wing of the field and still ran green under pressure, I thought. So there's more improvement to come from him. Will definitely suit a mile. I think 13-2 is far, far too big. I quite fancy him.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Keith. Let's turn our attention now to York, where there's 3 races on ITV, beginning with the 2 o'clock, the coral.co.uk Rockingham Stakes. It's a listed race over 6 furlongs for the two-year-olds. Let's get some latest betting from Ryan McHugh and we'll find out who he fancies.
Yeah, it looks a tight little contest, Bruce. Legal Attack heads our market at the moment at 3-1. Light Refrain is in there at 7-2. Black Rod at 9-2, along with Regional, and then it's 11-2 and bigger the remainder. It was a trappy enough contest, as I said. I thought maybe International Dream was a solid selection in the race. He's very consistent. He has form on the ground and this sort of class. He was obviously second or third in the Group 3 at Goodwood during the summer. I just think I wouldn't be surprised if something improved passing, but at the same time, the factors of dead 8 runners and you're getting in around 13-2. I thought he was a solid bet in the race each way.
Well, Ryan, I tell you what, for what it's worth, which is pretty much nothing, I agree with you. I like this International Dream. And as you say, one or two might come past him, but he's a very, very solid each way shot. I thought it was a very big price. Keith, who do you like?
I really like Light Refrain in this, actually. I think they've just discovered her trip. So surprisingly, given she's by Frankel, but she has a lot of speed. At Newcastle last time, she's won that on the bridle, really. And that was not a particularly strongly run race over 6. So I've no problem with the more speedy 6 furlongs that York's perceived to be relative to Newcastle, where it can be quite stiff. I think they've just found her trip and that she's going to improve massively on that. She's rated 87 with the BHA. And really, she should be in a nursery because she could pick them up and carry them in a nursery off that mark. I think it's notable that they've chosen to go down the route of hunting for black type at this stage.
Thanks, Keith. David Jennings, away you go.
Oh, Light Refrain. Yeah, definitely Light Refrain. I think the key thing here with this filly is that she's finally getting a chance to run on a kind of a softer surface on grass. First 2 starts, good to firm, Ascot and Doncaster. Then there was a slightly more cut in the ground when it was good at Salisbury and she stepped up on that to finish second. Then she ran when it was standard to slow at Newcastle and obviously bolted up in that novice race, which she was entitled to do. But her dam was Light Music, who won on soft ground. And I think as well as that, there's a lot in her pedigree, there's a lot of soft ground form as well. And I just think 6 furlongs on soft ground, I think you'll see the best of Light Refrain. And I think she'll go off favourite. I think she's one that could be very well back. So I think 7-2 could be decent value.
2 very solid shouts for Light Refrain, who's trained by William Haggas. And Haggas also has the fav in an, or not that Light Refrain is fav at the moment, but Haggas does have the fav in the next race, the 2:35, Coral beaten a length. 3-bet handicap over 1.5 miles, and the favourite in question is Il Arab, who's got loads of ones by his name. What price is he now, Ryan?
Yeah, 5-2, Bruce. We're paying 4 places again in this race to each way backers. Crystal Pegasus is next in at 5-1, along with Matthew Flinders. It's 8-1 then, Anything Today and Spirit Dancer, and then bigger price to the rest.
And it's Keith's turn to go first.
I don't want people thinking this is a particularly strong bet, but I probably will, with 4 places, have a bet on Matthew Flinders each way. He's obviously on a very steep progressive curve, and he is very much bred more for 10 furlongs than 8, even though he's kept improving back at 1 mile the last twice. His pedigree's all 2+, up to 6, I think, some of it on the dam side. So I think he's going to keep improving, so I will be having, with 4 places, a bet each way on him.
Thank you very much, Keith. David Jennings?
This is a hell of a race. Load of really improving handicappers here. Like Crystal Pegasus, I thought, took 2 big leap forwards the last twice. Such a good ride from Ryan Yarmouth last time. Il Arab, again, going for 5 in a row. But I'm going to contradict myself here because I'm going to give a shout out to Shatez for Alan King and David Egan. A 9-year-old whose best days are probably behind him. But he was rated 104 earlier on in the year, and he's down to 90 now. And I just thought there was more sign of life last time at Newbury. He was only beaten just over two by in obviously what was a very hot handicap. And just like the way he hit the line, it suggested to me that he was coming back into form, and he's just really well handicapped in some of his old form. So I'm going to chance him at 16 to 1, Chartez.
Chartez for DJ. Who for Ryan?
Yeah, I have another 16 to 1 chance that I was given a good each way chance to. Johnny Drama, he's back off a break. He's wind up for the first time as well for trainer Andrew Balding. He used to be with Jerry Lyons in Ireland, and I just think he really wants this sort of ground, this soft ground. He hasn't got it too much in his career to date. Although he has formed a better ground, I think he wants this type of ground. And if he's fit and ready to go after that break and the wind up brings out a little bit of improvement, I think 16 to 1 is a fair price.
No, I jumped off that cliff after the last day. I've been hanging on. And after two furlongs, he was keen again. I just said, right, you're gone.
There is a race in him, though. There is one of these races in him off that, Mark. There has to be. He needs to settle.
Which show was Johnny Drama a character in, lads? No. Entourage. No. Played by Kevin Dillon. How about that? Okay, right then. What else? What's our final race at York? It's the 310. It's the Coral Sprint Trophy. A 6-furlong cavalry charge. 22 runners. Wide open. Ryan, what's the latest betting?
Yeah, another extra place race. There's plenty of these over the weekend. Came from the dark. We're paying 5 place, I should say. Came from the dark and Rolston Star have to head the betting at 8-1. Along with Tronchi at 8. Kinran's in there at 10s. Mr. Lupton also in there at 10-1.
Okay, yeah, this is a tough one, this. Keith, you better go first at solving it.
Better not. No, this is very much the sort of thing I leave alone. It's like one of those ones in Mastermind where you pass before they finish the question.
No one passes anymore on Mastermind. Did you know that?
Well, they shouldn't.
No, they don't. They've cottoned on to that now, haven't they? Do you remember when it was Magnus Magnusson and they'd go through the passes and it'd take forever, wouldn't it? But now they've realised that if it's a dead heat, which is a fairly short price, it's all about passes. So they'll just say anything now, won't they?
It only took them 25 years to figure it out, didn't it?
I know. It was ridiculous, wasn't it? Absolutely. But you are shouldering arms in cricket parlance and letting that one through to the keeper. DJ, are you going to go likewise or are you going to have a cut at this?
I hate these races. I just find that it's just, you run it every day of the week and you get a different result. I do think Soldier's Minute is slightly overpriced at 14 to 1 just because he's so good at York. And I think he's better at York than anywhere else. Cracking run in the Air Gold Cup, finished fourth, only beaten 2 lengths. So Soldier's Minute, if I was pushed, but I certainly won't be backing him.
Okay, thank you very much, chaps. Right, both of our experts have bottled out of this one, Ryan, so you better put a tip up, mate.
Yeah, it obviously is a very tricky handicap, but one that's interested me in the race is Bielsa. He's only had 9 runs for a 5-year-old, so very lightly raced. He's some really strong form on this type of ground. And if you watch back the Air Gold Cup run last time, he was beaten 3 lengths. He didn't really disgrace himself, but he had to race alone towards a stands rail. And that ultimately cost him being a couple of lengths closer, or definitely a couple of places closer, I thought. And the fact he's so lightly raced and he goes very well on this type of ground, this could be the time of year to catch him. So at around 12 to 1, I think Bielsa's a decent each way bet.
Very, very interesting you say that, because I've got a very shrewd Racing Post colleague who told me all about Bielsa a couple of days ago and how I should be backing him. Okay, that's the TV action. We'll be back with all the rest of the weekend's best bets in just a moment.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Keith Melrose and Paddy Powers, Ryan McHugh. We've done the ITV action. Let's see what else the boys fancy on Saturday. We've got the rest of Newmarket, the rest of York. They're racing at Chepstow, cracking jumps card there. Also over the sticks at Hexham. And we've got Chelmsford providing the evening action. And over in Ireland, Ferry House and Limerick. So plenty to choose from. David Jennings, what have you got for us?
Yeah, do you know what's funny, actually? Do you know the way there's racing at Chepstow and Ferry House over jumps? I hate both of those tracks for flat racing. Despise watching flat racing at Chepstow and Ferry House. And I absolutely love them for jump racing. I just thought...
I'd Garen Park, DJ.
Yeah, I don't mind going on the flat. But I just think it's bizarre how much you can hate a track for flat racing and then love it for jumps. But moving on to Chepstow in the 322... I just think Fiddler on the Roof could be a star over Fences. I wasn't blown away like a lot of people seem to be by Fusil Raffles at Uttoxeter. I thought he was okay. I think Longhouse Sale has mopped up races that were there to be mopped up, but Fiddler on the Roof is a different level altogether. And Schooling apparently has gone really, really well. So I think you'll actually get a bigger price than you should about Fiddler on the Roof on that 322. Then later on the card in the 432 at Chepstow, I think Monday Avalwar is still a well-handicapped chaser for Paul Nicholls and the maestro that is Harry Cobden. I just think when you look through his form, there's snippets of form there that suggests that he could just make the step to the next level. He's off 142, like he's ran against Champ, Angel's Breath. You could say he was a little bit disappointing last time at Newbury, but he was just really keen. I think he's a little bit of growing up to do. He's a seven-year-old now, and I think when I look through this race, I think he's the one that could make the step up to get to about 150, and he's off 142 here. So Monday Avalwar in the 432 at Chepstow.
Harry Cobden, a master, you say, DJ. You've really got him down as absolute elite jockey now, yeah?
Yeah, he's the best up-and-coming rider over jumps I've seen since Ruby, yeah.
Interesting. Ryan, what do you like on Saturday?
Yeah, I'll just put one up in the 240 at Fairy House from an each-way point of view. I think Avec Espoir, there's a race in him off this type of mark. It's lowly rated stuff, but he fell at Lestal the last day when he was going to at least be placed. He's unexposed over fences. I think Avec Espoir in the 240 has a decent each-way chance.
And Keith, I suspect your eye is drawn to the Chepstow card.
Yeah, the one I've had a couple of bets at Chepstow. The one I will put up initially is a hurdler and a silver trophy. Cad shouldn't be the outsider if he's fit. Pretty well handicapped in his form for Harry Whittington. Christian Williams has got a hold of him. We'll know full well what he's got in terms of potential. So if he is fit, that price is going to come right in.
I was going to actually put him up. He's an absolute headbanger of a horse.
Oh, he's mad.
I was actually going to put him up, and then I said, you know what? He'll probably be too gassy and too free, but he is a trade in running. If they're Betfair punters watching or listening, he will go short in running because he'd be miles clear at a certain stage.
Yeah, and he's and Williams as well. I mean, he's going to, in a race at Chepstow, first time up, valuable race. I just would imagine Christian Williams will have done all he can with him to get him there for it, and it's just up to the horse then at that point. He's got the talent, and I'm not sure it's always the very, very strongest of races, this one. There's improvers in it, but there's nothing else that's really chucked into the degree he is. The Chasers, I agree with DJ. Montes Avalwar is the likeliest winner of that race. It's a strange one. The race that he ran at Newbury was won by Sussex Ranger, and a chase won by Sussex Ranger generally wouldn't go anywhere near my list of races to watch, but it collapsed, and Montes Avalwar was involved in that. There's a couple of horses in that race that I'll be looking out for through the winter. But Mondes Avalwar, I thought, was the likeliest winner. I will have an eye on River Wild in that race as well. He's about 18-1. He's gone to Ian Williams. He's got loads of ability. I'm not sure tomorrow will be the day, but that horse will win a reasonable handicap at some point this winter, I would have thought. And by the time viewers hear this, I think this price will have gone. But in the Native River handicap chase, I think they've missed one entirely. Steely Edition is down with the absolute rags of the field. He only ran twice last year. The first time was in the graduation chase against Santini, when he jumped well enough round and was just in over his head in that sort of company. And the second time was in the Grand National trial at Haydock, where he got pulled up, but he basically stopped as if shot from five out. He'd travelled well into the race and looked like he was actually going to put up a big fight. He's come down another couple of pounds for that, and I'm not saying he's the likeliest winner of that race. It's very, very competitive, but at 14-1, he's been totally forgotten about, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him in single figures near the off if he's fit.
Okay, breaking news. I think Lightly Squeezed doesn't get into the Cez looking at the cards, DJ, I'm afraid.
So you get money
back there. That's all right. Dalton Highway's your selection now, isn't it?
Yep.
Right, you are then. Let's get these Saturday naps. We'll start with Ryan McHugh.
Great White Shark, for the reasons I explained earlier on.
And that's in the 335 at Newmarket. Keith Melrose.
I'll be sporting to DJ and say Dahabi. Cadillac would have been close, but Dahabi, I'll let DJ have the choice of Cadillac if he wants.
The Harby in the, sorry, I'll just be your bet butler, lads. What is it?
220, isn't it?
220 at Newmarket. And DJ's going to get full marks, not necessarily for the quality of his selection, but for saying the time and meeting.
Oh, I've learned my lesson long ago, Bruce. I got slapped on the wrist for that many as a time. I'm not going to go for Cadillac because I'm not saying Cadillac will win. I just think he's the wrong price. I'm getting this over nice and early. I'm ripping off the plaster at 110. Towerek for Sir Michael Stout and Jim Crowley, I think, is chucked into that nursery off a mark of 84. He ran in the One Ruler maiden at Sandown, and I think One Ruler is a good horse finish. And then last time at Doncaster, I couldn't believe he won because he sweated up so badly before and was so fizzy in the early stages, but still had enough raw natural ability to win the race. And it was just interesting hearing Jim Crowley interviewed afterwards. He was pretty glowing in his chat about this Towerek. I think he thinks he could be a potentially a proper Group 2/Group 1 horse next year. He's rated 84. He should eat these up. So Towerek in the 110 at Newmarket.
Okay, gents, thank you very much. Right then, on Sunday, the big action takes place in Ireland. They're jumping at Limerick, where we've got the Munster National at 4 o'clock. At the Curragh, we've got some really, really good races, a group race as well, and the Irish Cesarewitch at 3:40. There's a listed race at Goodwood, and then we've also got UK Jumps action at Newton Abbot. I'll tell you what, Ryan, why don't you set the scene for Sunday with just the top few prices in the Munster National and the Irish Cesarewitch?
Yeah, with the Irish Cesarewitch, Bruce. Heading our betting is Run for Mary at 5-1. We're paying 6 places online, 5 places in retail. Shushan Warriors next in at 6-1. It's 8-1 Cape Gentleman, 10-1 Golden Spear, and then 12-1 and bigger the remainder of the field.
Okay, and what have you got for us at the Munster National? How are you betting there?
The Munster National, we don't have back up on site yet, Bruce. Okay. It'll be up on time and listen.
Okay, well, let's get some selections. David Jennings, who are your Sunday best bets?
The Munster National, to be honest, it's actually not as good a quality race as it's been in recent years, which is a little bit disappointing. I just think one of these races is going to go to the Wes Awake, who's constantly in the frame in these big races. Fourth in the Kerry National, fourth in the Galway Plate, has escaped with just... And fair play to the handicapper. He said to himself, this horse keeps running well. We're not going to crucify him. He's only gone up a pound for finishing fourth in the Kerry National. And I think with the West Awake, he was the only one that tried to go after Cabaret Queen. And I think if Philip Enright had the decision again, I think he'd say, right, maybe I just won't go after Cabaret Queen as quick as I did and, you know, let him fill up his lungs maybe in the back straight. Paul Townend takes over from Philip Enright. And it's interesting that Willie is nothing in the race. And I just think it's just going to be rewarded for consistency because I don't think it's a stronger race as the Kerry National or the Galway Plate. There's no early doors in here. And I think he'd just take advantage of his opportunity. So the West Awake in the 4 o'clock, Bruce, the Munster National. And just can I give you one?
Can you hear a weird noise in the background? My dog's just started doing some mental sneezes.
Yeah, I heard a sneeze. I thought it was Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I think she's okay. Sorry if that interrupted your flight. Sorry, DJ, you had another tip for us.
Yeah, I had one more. And this is going to be a big price, I'd say, as well. And I'd advise you to get on early because I think it'll be well backed. In the 3 o'clock at Limerick, there's a horse called Agent Baru for Tom Gibney, the former Irish Grand National winning trainer, whose team have really hit form. Now, he's only had one winner in the last fortnight, but he's had a lot of place kind of horses that have ran well, like a horse called Happy Days finished second at Tipperary the other day, 20-1. I think this Agent Baru is really well handicapped off a mark of 114. He was dropped £2 for running really well at Punchestown, where he was finished 6th to Ellie Mack. That should bring him on. Darrow Keefe is booked to ride, and I think he's the best handicapped horse in the race. The ground will be perfect for him. That's Agent Baru in the 3 o'clock at Limerick.
Okay, Keith, are you getting involved on Sunday tips at this stage, or are you going to keep your powder dry?
There's no reason why I wouldn't get involved in the tips, but I've looked at those Newton Abbott races, and they're watching races rather than betting races, but I will be watching.
Name a horse that you've got your eye on at Newton Abbott on Sunday.
Newton Abbott on Sunday? What have you done to me now? There's the...
is it a card that normally throws up, you know, throws up plenty of meaningful clues?
Well, people often say that intermediate chase is worthwhile, and it rarely is, to be honest. It just tends to have names in it. And that's obviously this year. It's got Al Dancer and Master Tommy Tucker and whatnot in that race. And Master Tommy Tucker's fun to watch, if nothing else, isn't he? So...
Outdance is a name. Oh, that's good.
He certainly is. Yeah. Got this, there's always names in it, and people always think it's really significant, but it doesn't always turn out that
way. Oh, this master, Tommy Tucker, is the potential to be an absolute machine. I like it.
Interesting form figures, DJ. F1FF.
Yeah, could easily be 1-1-1-1. I'd say it would have won that grade one, the Colorado Star Novices Chase at Christmas. Now, it's a big call because it was a bit out, but when he's in full flow, he is glorious to watch. Absolutely glorious. And Nichols, I would say this has been mainly his big thing during the summer would have been to get this horse to stop doing the nonsense that it does, where it just gets in a little bit tight and then bang, gone. So I don't know how you train a horse to stop doing that, but if he does, this is a proper, proper machine.
Okay. Anything else we should be looking at, Keith, on Sunday?
Yeah, so we've got the Rasher Counter that is running over hurdles. That is just a spin, so we're not going to see much about that. And also we have a novice handicap chase. Now, it's not big names, but novice handicap chases at this time of year generally are chasing debuts, and chasing debuts are a big time to get a handle on young chasers coming in. You can tell a lot from their first start, just whether they fancy it a lot of the time, to be quite honest with you. So I do quite like watching these for that very reason.
Excellent. We will be keeping our eye on Newton Abbott. I suspect, though, Ryan, your Sunday bets are not at Newton Abbott.
No, I'll probably be watching all right along with Keith, but I'll keep my betting to both Limerick and the Curra. Just a favourite, I think, in the Cesaro, which is 5-1 run for Mary, but it's so standout. Charles Burns has booked young Sam Ewing, who's a cracking young apprentice, to take off £7. Only carries 8'6", which would be of a help knock around on Sunday. And the form behind Princess Zoe is obviously rock solid now from Galway. So off a mark of 84, run for Mary. She's 5-1 at the moment. We're paying 6 places online. She's another that I can't really see out of places.
Okay, excellent stuff. Thank you very much indeed, gentlemen. DJ, working this weekend? You going racing?
I am working at Fairy House on Saturday, where Queen's Brook makes her debut over hurdles. That'll be quite interesting. And then I'm off on Sunday, and my mum is doing a Sunday roast for me and Aoife and Georgia and my
That'll be enough. Kids. Whoa.
You're gonna run out
of a group. Do you have the group of what's it called? The gang of the rule of six. Over
yeah,
there?
I think so. I think we do. Yeah. So we might just eat outside or something.
Okay, fair enough. Keith, anything exciting this weekend?
Absolutely not. I'm moving house in a couple of weeks, so it's all packing boxes.
Aye. Obviously paying him too much. And Ryan, what does the weekend hold for you, my friend?
I'm in the middle of a 10-day stretch at work, so no fun for me.
Oh, my goodness. Right? Oh, dear. Okay, chaps, well, many thanks for that. Yes, absolutely. Good luck with your selections this weekend. Hope you tip plenty of winners. And thank you very much indeed for listening. I hope you back plenty of winners. Don't forget to bet responsibly. Join Maddie on Monday to review the weekend and look ahead to the early value for Champions Day, which we will be looking at in greater detail next Friday. So we'd love to join you for another Racing Postcast.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, begambleaware.org.